Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and as always, it is an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again. It really is. Now, where are we going to go during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, we're going to take a look at the first piece of God's spiritual financial armor that He gives us to pick up and to put on, and that would be the loin belt of truth. Then, during our Q&A time together, we're going to continue looking to see how God's principles of wealth and stewardship, well, how they apply to our jobs and to our careers. Plus, we're going to hear from the Better Business Bureau on a new romance scam, okay? Yeah, that ought to be interesting. And we're going to finish up with yet another Minute with Maxwell and from God's Word as we learn a little bit about the word future. So, stay tuned, won't you? This is going to be another great time together with the Lord. You're not going to want to miss a single minute. And as we do each time we are together, let me open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for meeting with us here again today. Please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us. To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. My friend, did you know that the Bible says that you have never had a single financial problem? Do you realize that? Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Or is it? You see, the Bible says that finances are never a problem. They are always simply symptoms, okay? Finances are symptoms. The problems are spiritual. Now, another way of saying this is that spiritual problems have a way of showing up in and through your personal finances. Now, the good news is that all spiritual problems have spiritual solutions. Is that not right? And that is one of the reasons God gives you His spiritual armor, so that you can meet and defeat the enemy who wages spiritual warfare against you and against your finances. Now, let's dig a little deeper here. Are you ready? Now, remember from our last time together that according to the Bible, the devil's entrance into your life, including his entrance into your finances, well, it is allowed primarily through your negligence. You see, he slips in through an undisciplined and an unorganized and uncommitted mind, and then he begins to wage warfare against your mind and your flesh and your finances. Now, rather than hide from the devil, you're going to need to learn what God has to say about the devil and how to put on and use God's spiritual armor. Now, we're first going to take a look at what each piece of the armor meant to the Roman soldier, and then we're going to see how it applies to us today. And the very first piece of God's spiritual armor from Ephesians chapter 6 that we need to invest into our financial lives, well, it is what Paul calls the belt of truth, or the loin belt of truth, depending upon your Bible translation. Now, what was the loin belt? First of all, what was the loin belt to the Roman soldier? Well, if you look at a picture, you got to see that it was probably the least attractive and least noticeable, but the most important of all of his armor. It wrapped around his waist and over his shoulder. And it was important because almost everything that the Roman soldier carried was in some way attached to his belt. And that was to include all of his armor, most of his armor, and pouches of food and water and clothing and all of his personal items. His belt was absolutely essential to his survival. That's the belt from the Roman soldier's perspective. Now, what does it mean to us today? Well, first of all, And I think you've got to agree with this right up front. First of all, it is the only weapon that we can actually see and hold in our hands. You see, here Paul uses the Greek word logos, and that is the written word of God. It is the Bible. Now, actually, you need to know that there are two kinds of words we receive from God, the logos word of God and the rhema word of God. Now, the logos, the word that Paul uses here, is the indispensable written word of God. This is, of course, the Bible. But then we're going to find that there is also the rhema word of God. Now this word describes a fresh, a specially quickened and revealed word from God. Now, that's going to also be part of our armor, and we're going to be talking about the rhema word of God just a little bit later. Now, what Paul is saying here is that you, if you want to walk through the financial areas of your life dressed in your spiritual armor, well, then you had better start by taking up the logos, the word of truth, the written word of God, and permanently affix it to your life. Now remember, the devil, well, he fights with lies, right? And sometimes his lies sound like truth, don't they? Remember, we talked about religious folklore. You know, all of those things that sound spiritual, but they are not scriptural. And recall that religious folklore can really get us into trouble if we don't recognize them in the light of God's truth, in light of the written word of God. But remember also that because you asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, you have access to the power of the truth from the Logos, the written word of God. And God's truth will always, always defeat the devil's lies. Now, Paul is saying that the Bible, the word of truth, well, it's got to be the governor. It has to be the law, the ruler. It has to be the final say-so in each and every area of your life, to include your financial life. The Bible can hold everything together for you. And that is why one of the very first things that we have done during our radio seminar times together is to set into place the biblical financial principles of wealth and stewardship based on the Logos, the written word of God. You see, my friend, according to the Bible, winning or losing in the financial areas of your life, it's your choice. It's your choice. You see, if you are not walking daily in the power and the truth of God's word, neither are you walking in your God-given suit of spiritual armor. Without the word of God up and operating in your life, including the material areas of your life, well, your battles are going to be over even before they begin. If you are going to go into spiritual combat, my friend, you had better not go without your belt of truth. Because if you do, it's only going to take one hit from the enemy, and all of the rest of your armor and a whole lot of other stuff is just going to come tumbling off. The Bible says that the word of God, it is alive and powerful. It divides marrow from the bone. It divides truth from error. You see, Satan fears it. And every demon in hell trembles whenever you quote it. You don't need to defend it. Listen, you don't need to argue about it. You just need to know what it is, what it says, and how to live by it. And that way, when the devil comes and he starts to try to manipulate your life and destroy your health and destroy your finances, you know, to rob you of your peace, well, you're not gonna pick up the word of God and try to debate it or explain it. No. You're just going to pick it up and put it on and be able to use it. You're going to be able to quote it back to him. And by the way, do you realize that it is not your pastor's job to dress you in your spiritual armor each and every Sunday, each and every time you meet for Bible study? Do you realize that? Listen, the teaching of the word from the pulpit, well, it should confirm, what it should do is to confirm what you have already heard God say to you personally through his word during the week. You see, it is your pastor's role. Now, I got to tell you, it's your pastor's role to tighten up your loin belt, a little bit tighter every now and again. Yes, it is. However, it is not his or her job to dress you in it. You see, my friend, when you put on the loin belt of God's word and you determine you're going to make it a priority in your life, well, you are well on the way to winning the battles that come against your body, your mind, your family, your friends, your ministry, and your finances. The loin belt of truth is the first piece of our spiritual financial armor. Now, the second piece is what Paul calls the shoes of peace, and we're going to be talking about that during our next time together. Recall that our Q&A times for the next week or so, well, we're going to be focusing on questions folks have about how to apply God's principles of wealth and stewardship to employment decisions, to your job, to your vocation. Now remember, our wealth, according to God's definition, well, it includes a whole lot more than just the money in our pocket and in our checking and savings accounts, right? We talked about that. Part of our wealth from God, well, it includes the way that he gives us to make a living. How so? Well, you know, Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18 spells it out pretty clearly. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Now here it is. Listen very closely to verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Man, it couldn't be much clearer than that, right? So if our job, if our careers are gifts from God, which they are, then he is the owner and ours is the task of a what? Remember, he's the owner, we're a steward, we're a manager. We are to manage what it is that he gives us to do. And when we have questions about the gift of our job or our profession, we can and we should go to the owner to ask those questions. So yes, it is absolutely, totally biblical to see what the Lord has to say about our jobs and about our career fields. So here are several real-world questions from folks seeking to know what the Lord has to say about being a Christian worker. Here is the first question. Should Christians only work in Christian career fields or jobs such as ministry, and Christian schools, and Christian music? Well, John, our response to you today is absolutely not. You see, God has placed Christians in every segment of society and career field, all the way from the president of the United States to somebody working in a part-time job in a grocery store someplace. We each have a different area of ministry. And you as a Christian, well, you should not seek out Christian jobs unless you prayerfully believe that that is what God's plan is for you, for your life. God has called you to be salt and light, right? And there is absolutely no way you are going to shed light into darkness unless you go to where the darkness is. So God will have Christians like you in every career field, in every community of the world. Now that's a great question. That's a great question. But here is a great follow-up question. Listen carefully here. Bob, do you believe that there are any vocations that are not suitable for a Christian? Now, my radio friend, how would you answer this? What do you think you would appreciate hearing if you had asked the question? Well, I suggest that yes, most assuredly, there are. You see, the obvious ones are those that involve anything that are illegal, immoral, or maybe even unethical, right? Now, that covers vocations all the way from drug dealing to abortions, in my opinion. If you are referring to working in a gambling casino or a liquor store, which a lot of Christians do, particularly here in the North Georgia, North Carolina mountains, well, if that's you, that decision must be based on your conviction as a Christian. And the same can be said for a hotel manager where the parent company allows pornographic movies. You see, these can represent a compromise to God's word and a stumbling block to you and to others. Now I got to believe, according to the Bible, Well, that the Bible would encourage you to seek the counsel of a mature Christian, maybe mature Christians in your area, and to pray diligently for the answer as it impacts your own personal life. Now, remember Proverbs 19:20? Well, Proverbs 19:20 tells you to listen to the counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. Okay, how are we doing on time? Okay, I believe there's time for one more, and I'm glad, because there's one more quick but important question we need to talk about. Here's the question. Bob, isn't it true that the majority of women who are educated and trained in a career field never work in it? Well, if most women are going to become housewives and mothers, why then should we waste money on our daughters' college education? Oh, my. I mean, it's going to be a tough family question, right? Again, how would you respond? How would you minister someone who asked you that kind of question, right? Maybe they ask it in your Bible study group, maybe in your Sunday school class. How would you respond? Well, let's give it a try. First of all, yes, it is true that many women do not stay in their chosen career field during childbearing years. Yes, that is very true. However, with more and more working women than ever before, many are establishing continuing careers. So I got to suggest that you not discount your daughter's education. You know, it can be applied. Well, it can be applied in her own family when she has children. And it may be useful to her and her family when the children are grown and gone. Now, I got to believe from the Lord, well, that He would have you to prayerfully view your daughter's continuing education. Listen, whether that education be college or a trade school, I got to believe that God would have you consider your daughter's education, well, as an investment and not look at it as a waste. Just be certain that she has specific goals that require a particular type of education. You see, I got to believe that the real waste would be to spend 4 years in college to avoid making a career decision, which a lot of folks do, right? You know, Proverbs 9:9 tells us to give instruction to the wise man or daughter, and he or she will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. My friends, you have to know that God loves you and He cares for you in every area of the life He gives you to live, to include what it is that He gives you to do to help provide for your family. Remember this, your job is part of your wealth from God. We've already seen that today. And that being the case, He is the owner. Your job is that of a steward or a manager. So when you have a question about how best to manage your job or your career, the very first place to go is to the owner, and He will answer you. Now, you have probably heard in the past about romance scams, right? You know, where a con artist tries to trick unsuspecting victims into falling in love and parting with their money. Well, lately, the Better Business Bureau scam tracker, well, it's been getting reports of a new type of romance scam. And in this con, well, it involves a website where the entire dating website is a scam, okay? How does it work? Well, you sign up for a dating service with what seems to be a legitimate site. Now, the site asks you to fill out a profile with your personal information, of course, which you do. This includes, of course, your credit card number, which is used to pay for your membership. However, when you start browsing other users' profiles, you begin to see some red flags. For example, other members who contact you have incomplete profiles. Maybe they don't have pictures. Maybe they don't have some basic information that you can see. And the site may encourage you to connect with people who don't even match your dating profile. Okay? Now, for example, they may live in a different city, or they may be outside your preferred age range. You may also notice that the profiles frequently vanish from the site even after you've chatted with them. So it turns out that these other daters, well, they're just simply not real. The site is filled with phony profiles to make you think that the site has a whole lot of members. And once you figure out the hoax, you try to cancel your membership, right? But what happens is the site keeps on billing you. Now, in some cases, the scam dating site requires you to pay to contact other daters. You see, one victim reported to the Better Business Bureau about joining a dating service where she bought coins in order to chat with other members. So she told the Better Business Bureau that she was bombarded with messages from nearly 200 different users in only just a few days, and even without fully filling out her own personal profile. She paid for coins 3 and 4 times and was double charged a whole lot of time. You see, what happens is that the site hires operators to steal the photos and assume fake identities of folks, and then bombards the legitimate users with messages to entice them into buying coins to have conversations by lying and leaning on people, okay? So the question has to be this. That's what it is, but how can you spot a fake dating website so you don't get into trouble to begin with? Well, first of all, you got to do your research before you sign up, all right? Do an internet search of the dating website's name along with the words reviews and scams. Keep a close eye out for any negative reports or past users who suspect the website might be fake. That's the first thing. Do some research. And then make sure you understand how the website works. It's not entirely unusual to have to pay a monthly fee or small fees for individual connections to dating services. But listen, be sure the website is upfront about how their payment system works. If their payment system isn't well documented and you find it confusing, well, choose another dating service, all right? So do your research, make sure you understand how the website works, and then it's the old rule that if it's too good to be true, then probably it's best not to believe it. For example, if you haven't even completed your personal profile and people are lining up to meet you, it's probably a scam. You know, the same goes for individuals who make unrealistic claims about their love and devotion to you, especially if you've just met online. And finally, use your credit card to pay for online services and memberships, all online services and memberships. You see, when you pay with your credit card, you can dispute any unauthorized charge that's made against your card for fake services. Now, the same may not be true if you use a debit card or if you give a company your personal banking information, such as your checking account number and your bank's routing number, okay? So that is what one dating scam can look like and how you can avoid it. Okay, now let's start to wrap up our time together today with one of the highlights of any of our times together, which is, well, let's spend a minute with Maxwell, as John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on the word future.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. I many times have people want to talk to me about their future career, asking me questions like, what do you think will happen to me down the road? Leaders coming to me and say, I've got a vision. I'm about to share it with my people. Do you think that they'll buy into that vision? Now, obviously, leaders are always thinking ahead. But I want to talk to you about the fact that you need to be present right now. That yes, your job as a leader is to kind of have the far glance, but right now you need to focus on today. And what I realized so many leaders don't understand is that truly today matters. And we overestimate what we can do tomorrow, we over-exaggerate what we did yesterday, but we underestimate what we can do right now. The only time I have is now. It's the only time. Don't have yesterday. Not guaranteed tomorrow, but I have now. So the question for all of us is, what am I doing with now? The great leaders, they're present in the moment, and because of that, they maximize the moment. So if you're tempted to take that faraway glance, well, glance. But get right back to the present moment, because today you're preparing to make tomorrow a success. Thanks for joining me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Wow, that's a good word. Now, what exactly is John telling us here? Well, to me, he is saying that we should live in the moment. We need to know what it's like to be present. We ought not to worry about yesterday. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed, so we need to focus on now. And isn't that exactly what Philippians 3, 13, and 14 tells us? Listen here. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, what Paul is telling us, just like John Maxwell, Paul is saying, listen, we're to focus. In other words, we're to evaluate, learn from, but we are not to live in the past. You know, where you are now, well, it's no time to relax. We have to keep on keeping on. You know, working toward our goal to bring glory to God by partnering with the Holy Spirit to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And what is the prize? Well, of course, the prize is bringing glory to God, coupled with the thought of the glory that follows when Jesus calls us up to be with Him and we get to see Him face to face. The future. Man, it is a great word from John Maxwell, and it's a great word from the Lord. Boy, this has been another great time together with the Lord, hasn't it? Recall that we started out by taking a look at the very first piece of financial spiritual armor that the Lord gives us to pick up and put on, which is the loin belt of truth. It is the written word of God. It is the Logos. It is the Bible. And remember, there are over 3,000 different verses in the Bible that talk about money, talk about how to earn it and give it and spend it and save it and on and on and on. That is why our first step toward financial freedom God's way was to make sure we arm ourselves with God's word. Okay? Then, during our Q&A time together, we continued looking at what the Bible has to say about applying the principles of wealth and stewardship to our jobs, to our professions. You learned a little bit about romance schemes, at least one particular one, and you know, the one that's going around right now on the internet, and you learned how to avoid it. And finally, well, we just had a great word from John Maxwell and the Bible on the subject, on the word future. And what did we learn? Well, what we learned was one of the best ways to move into the future is to prayerfully do our best to plan and then focus on today. Finally, just before we close out in prayer, I thought that you would like to know that the Lake Chetoug Community Prayer Force met for the first two times this past Tuesday morning and evening. What happened was that our prayer warriors prayed for 26 of our local churches and 36 of our local businesses. And we also sent out handwritten postcards so that folks could know that they had been lifted up in prayer. Now, this I believe, my friends, I believe that the Lord is going to grow the Lake Chetoug Community Prayer Force into a powerful catalyst for our Hiawassee, Young Harris, and Hayesville area. I really do. We're going to meet the first and third Tuesday mornings of each month from 9:45 till 11, and then in the evenings from 7:45 till 9. Now, my invitation to you is to come and join us. You come by yourself or come with a prayer partner, but come to pray. Now, you can check out our website. You can check out our website for more information at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Check us out. Come to pray. You and the Lord and our community will be glad you did. My friend, this has been a great time together with the Lord. But now it is time to close in prayer. Father God, I thank you for bringing us together today and for each of the days to come to your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom God's way.